Praise the Lord. Let's try that again. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That's good. Now you sound like a bunch of Indians. I thank God for the wonderful opportunity God has given to me to come and share God's work and from His Word. I'm thankful to your former president, Dr. Paige Patterson, for allowing the opportunity for me to come today. And thank you, Dr. Allen, for that introduction. After that introduction, I feel like a pancake with syrup all over it. I enjoyed translating your former president. Number one, he knows how to preach. And he knows where he's going with his sermon. I hate to translate, guys, that I have to create my own sermon in the other language. I've done that a few times, but I didn't have that problem with your former president. I would love to see God would call some of you to mission field. That's my prayer from this chapel, at least one. And at the same time, my prayer is that at least one would accept Christ if they haven't. We should never think that all seminary people are saved. Whether you disagree with that, well, you can meet me after the chapel. I would love to talk to you. Please do come and visit us in India. And like Dr. Allen said, I do have three family members, Sonny, Wayne, and Debbie. And whoever, just like he said, wants to date Debbie, you got to give $50 contribution. That's per date. We've got to raise pastors back home. Okay, so that's just give you a little idea of what we are about. I come from a very small country. 1/3 of the size of the United States of America. 4 times bigger in population. 1.2 billion people live in my country. I was preaching in First Baptist Knoxville one time, and this Chinese missionary was to share the mission moment before I spoke that day. And he says, God loves Chinese because He made more Chinese. Well, I was to follow him. I says, buddy, God's changing His mind. And I didn't think God will take me seriously that day, but we have overtaken China's population. 1.2 billion people. Before I share more about that country, I'd like to also share that if you are interested in coming to the mission field in India, we have a good friend, Will and Summer Owens, and he's doing his PhD program from your seminary. If you're interested in coming and visiting us, helping us with the... We have today, by the grace of God, 28 different seminaries training over 5,000 students. You come and teach, work in the orphanage, help us if you're a medical profession person like a nurse, training to be a doctor, whatever field that you feel or you have other friends that you would know that be willing to come, please contact Will and Summer and any other team members that have been there. I know a lot of people been there from this seminary, but to me, again, the question is all Americans look alike, so I don't know who's been there and who's not. Preaching one of the conferences with Norman Geisler, a lady asked me a question. Do you believe in eating red meat? I knew it was a smart aleck question. The reason that question was asked is because India is doing a great job exporting our religion called Hinduism to your country in the package called New Age. New Age is nothing but an old lie brought from India called Hinduism. Most of you guys in Hollywood, they love to follow New Age, and I'm glad you asked me why. The reason they follow New Age in your Hollywood part of the world is because that's the only religion that allows you to live as filthy, as immoral as you want and still feel religious about yourself. Jesus Christ is not the best Savior, by the way. I was asked to preach to a bunch of nuns. Well, that was awesome. 13,000 nuns asked this crazy boy to come and preach to them at 10:30 at night. It was like John chapter 3, Nicodemus going to meet after midnight. And I told those ladies in there, I says, well, Jesus Christ is not the best Savior. He's not the best Redeemer. He's not the best Lord. I love that confused look. How would you like if I introduced my wife to you this morning and said, here's my wife, she's my best wife. Some of you don't have a problem, buddy, but I got a problem. I wouldn't have a home to go to. I wouldn't have anybody prepare supper for me when I get home. We better make sure that Jesus Christ is not the best Lord in your life. He's the only Savior, the only way, the truth, and life. This ministry of Hope Givers began, and I'm not going to go into that because you already had the founder to come and share how the ministry was started. That was my father. 1960, the ministry was started. But I'll say this, when he was a student in 1959, he had to make a decision whether to stay on campus or go home. To stay on campus, to take the modular, he had to come up with 40 cents. To go home, it required 40 cents. He didn't have the 40 cents, so he decided to walk the 500 miles. On 53rd day, they arrived home, and I love the way he puts it. He says, Sam and Oprah, they tell you if you walk, you lose weight. We walked 53 days and gained 14 pounds. As a result of their walk, 12 churches were established from scratch. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Dr. Bill Bright was the commencement speaker for his graduation. He said, Dr. Thomas, I've heard about your walk. Are you willing to become the international director for Campus Crusade for Christ? My father looked at him and said, sir, you're only 2 days behind. I've been called to serve the Lord in the northern part of India where there's only one Christian for every 10,000 people. He arrived in the city of Kota on 23rd March 1960. Upon his arrival, they came and told him that if you don't leave this place, we'll kill you. This morning, you're looking at a man who had 15 attempts of assassinations. So if I get excited, hang in there, buddy. To me, Christ is not a program. I tell you, I get sick of churches that got program and not interested in people. The last attempt I had of assassination was last Wednesday. And if you want to know more about it, read World Magazine. The guy who had given me the 14th attempt of assassination was in your World Magazine, Dara Singh. And the nation of India has declared to give him sentence to be hung on 30th of November. And he knew that I was going back to India 2 weeks ago, and he made clear that when Sam comes, this will be his last trip to India. I escaped just by one inch. I was supposed to go back to the hotel room where he had hired five people with $1,000 in cash and gave them enough alcohol so they wouldn't have enough conscience to make sure that as soon as Samuel Thomas enters the room, behead him. May I say this to you guys? God's not interested in sissies. He's not interested in wimps. He didn't say, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth loafers. Come on. We need people who would say, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. On this Veterans Day, may I remind you this? The person who killed Graham Stain and his two boys alive, that's the same guy who was to kill me on the 14th attempt of assassination. Upon their funeral, I called the lady, Mrs. Staines. I said, ma'am, when an American soldier dies, the flag in Washington goes half-mast. When an Indian soldier dies, the flag in New Delhi goes half-mast. But when the soldier of the cross dies, the flag in heaven never goes half-mast. You know why? Because heaven never lost a citizen. It always gains one. Let me tell you, buddy. Future pastors, future guys with doctorate. By the way, I love those guys with doctorate degree, but God's not interested in our degrees. He's interested in our temperature. Today, everybody's a doctor. Dr. Samuel Thomas, Dr. Billy Graham, Dr. So-and-so. Makes you wonder if Christ is in the hospital. I know I'm not supposed to say that in seminary. But I'm glad I'm through with my studies. But praise God for the ones who are studying. Keep studying. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I've preached in some mighty churches of your country. By mistake, I have received some standing ovation too. By mistake. But you know what kind of standing ovation I'm looking for? It's Book of Acts chapter 8. When Stephen died, Jesus stood to welcome him home. Today, Hope Givers has 6,500 churches. It's not because of the Thomas's preaching. It is because of 11 men who have died in this ministry for the sake of their faith in Christ. Last October, I had the privilege. Hear me again. I had the privilege of bearing one of the preacher boys I had the privilege of training in the seminary, who was after the service cut in 3 pieces. Today, there are about 300 members in that church. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. What do we do? We take the children from the streets of India, send them out as missionaries. I was recently asked in one of your universities, can India be evangelized? The answer is, it's already been evangelized by the Hindus with the message of reincarnation. But we got a better message, guys. And by the way, some people in seminary believe in reincarnation. I don't know about yours, but some I've been. To those guys, I like to say the greatest thing to prove that the doctrine of reincarnation is wrong is that go back to the same country where it started. I tell all these priests when I see them in India, I said, if the doctrine of reincarnation is started and you believe that it's true, then why is the country's population is growing every year? Because you're supposed to die and come back as a cow, and if you die as a cow, you come back as a rat. If you die as a rat, you come back as a camel. So the population should be the same. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. By the way, when that lady asked me, do you believe in red meat, eating red meat? I said, yes, ma'am. I love the outback. And my ancestors over there are sometimes very tender and juicy. In other words, I don't believe in that doctrine. My Bible says, for it's appointed for men to die once, and after that to meet God. I want your attention to the book of Judges, chapter 14. I've been told that if you don't preach, they don't listen. So I want to make sure that we do preach. If you have the right Bible, it's page 245. Judges, chapter 14. And while you turn there, the Ministry of Hope Givers is interested in one thing. 80 million children live on the streets of India, orphaned and abandoned. We're asking God to give us 1 million of them, that we would train them out as missionaries for God. Your former president was there during our last graduation, February 2003. 1,508 students graduated in front of him. Every one of them took a martyr's pledge. If they don't sign a martyr's pledge, they do not graduate from our seminary. That's how serious we are. Hey, if Osama bin Laden can do it, we as Christians ought to be more than willing to lay down our life for the one who laid his life for us. It takes only $23 a month to support one of the orphans in the ministry. Today we have 6,000. In the last board meeting we did, 97% of our students that come into the orphanage are ending up in full-time ministry. I was in a big church in the country, I'm not going to name it. But one of the guys, the pastor of that church, he says, looks like you're brainwashing this kid. By the way, may I say this to you in my humble but accurate opinion? The greatest enemies of Christianity today are not the non-Christians, are the Christians. He looked at me and says, you're brainwashing this kid. I said, no, I wouldn't use that, brother. I almost said his name. So I wouldn't use that, brother. And he said, then what would you use? I said, well, we don't brainwash them, but we teach them Bible, and we don't teach them anything else. That's a better translation of brainwashing. Teach them God's Word. To me, this is a God thing. A child that comes to the orphanage, his name is Muhammad. Come on. Comes and receives the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus into his heart. And one day stands after seminary graduation on a pulpit proclaiming, there is no other way. Right. Under heaven, above the earth. I don't know about you guys, but that kindles the fire in my soul. If you don't get that kindling in your soul, your woods are wet. But to me, that's exciting how a Hindu boy and a Muslim boy comes and preaches the gospel. Would you help us? I know what you're thinking. Oh, Brother Thomas, we are college students. I know you guys are so stingy, you're so tight. When you walk, you squeak. $23 a month is all it takes to support a child in the ministry. And I know what your response is. We're going to go home and pray about it. Again, in my humble but accurate opinion, that is the greatest Christian lie I've ever heard. Let me explain. Some of you look confused. If I say to people, would you come to India? And he says he's going to pray about it. In other words, he ain't coming. May I speak to the international students just for a minute? You're looking at a guy who was in University of Georgia to be the pediatric surgeon in this country. Least desire to be in the ministry. I had no desire, but it was a calling of God. But those international students who have a plan to be student here for life, may I say this to you, God brought you here for one purpose. That's to get educated, go back home. America's got enough preachers. They don't need any more international preachers. Go home. Don't pray about it. In other words, when people say, I'm going to pray about it, they're not interested. But may I say this to you? When God saves us, he gives us one of two callings, sometimes both. The callings are go or send. But we Baptists have created a third calling. Let's pray about it. Judges chapter 14, verse 5. We're talking about Samson, handful of honey. And when Samson went down, his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Keep that in mind. Young lion. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Maybe in the modern translation, I think it should be written in verse 5, that it was Friday night that Samson went to see the love of his life. That's when most people go on dates. Here's Samson, he's got love in his mind, not the lion. Future pastors, future professors, may I say this to you? With all sincerity, there will be conflict in Christian life. To those guys who say, well, health, wealth, claim it, crowd, to those kind of guys, I like to say, when problem comes, what do you say? I like positive thinking. But positive thinking won't get you to heaven. I heard about a guy who was a positive thinker. He went to hell and he says, I'm not here, it's not hot. It doesn't work. You can think all that you want, hell is hot. It's not an air-conditioned place. I love your country. In your country, in every restaurant, they ask me two choices. Smoking, non-smoking. I like to add one phrase to that, eternity, your choice. Do you know Christ? Non-smoking session. You don't know him? Smoke all you want. There will be conflict in Christian life. Young lion. Did you read that in your Bible? It's not retired lion. It wasn't a lion that forgot his teeth. Young lion. Conflict in life will come when you least expect them. Keep that in mind. Never think that you're too smart that you can win all the battles. You cannot without the help of God. When you least expect them, conflict will come. When you least prepared for them, conflict will come. Look at verse 6. 6b, what does it say? He had nothing, come on now, he had nothing in his hand. I have Samuel Thomas special coat. Coat, wave your arms. Coat, hold the book. Man, I tell you what, I can't stand a disobedient coat. You thought this coat couldn't do it, right? Coat, wave your arms. Coat, hold the book. I know what you're thinking. You guys are smart guys. You say, well, that is the most stupidest illustration we have ever heard. It is, if you don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the coat that was waving the arm. It wasn't the coat that was holding the book. It was me inside the coat. I get sick of those evangelists who say they have won people to the Lord. I've been preaching 19 years. I haven't won anybody to the Lord. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. Who am I to boast that I have led so-and-so to Christ? Who am I? I believe in the sovereignty of God. All we are called is to preach the gospel. It is his job to save. You know what's wrong in churches today, guys? We are trying to get people saved without them ever realizing they're lost. Right. It's because we're trying to do the work of inside the coat. You don't have to convict a sinner. The sinner knows he's a sinner, but he needs to be convicted by the Spirit of God. It says he was empty in his hand. And verse 6:8 says, the Spirit of God came upon him. You come back to my office in India, and I hope some of you will. I'm not like Dr. Paige Patterson. I don't have those animals in the office. But I do have the stories of some lions that we have killed in the ministry. Whenever you try to serve God with all sincerity, may I encourage you, you will have conflict in life. And the conflict in life that you have as a Christian cannot be won unless the Spirit of God mightily come upon you. May I say about this honey that talks about in verse 8? Honey of no condemnation. Honey of no complication. Honey of no separation. Recently, you know, I don't believe in losing salvation, by the way. But somebody asked me recently, do you believe in losing salvation? I said, yes. It depends who saved you. Honey of no separation. What can separate us from the love of Christ? No one can pluck us out of the hand of God. Thank God for that honey. But may I say, in conclusion, in verse 9, it says, before, verse 9, 8, it says, he sees the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and the honey of the carcass of the lion. Oh, that's good. Inside the carcass. Now, you don't get a carcass from a living lion. If you have questions, ask Dr. Page. He'll tell you. But if you kill the lion, Jesus of Nazareth will one day give you the privilege of drawing honey from that carcass. In other words, guys, in your Christian life, if you ever face a lion, don't pray for them. Don't have counseling with your lions. Kill them. Don't entertain the lions in your life. Kill them. I have two boys. Can you imagine one day I come back from India and tell my son, son, would you bring me a cup of tea? And he responds to me. I hope he does it, but suppose he does. Dad, I don't feel led to. Guess what I'm going to do? Call my youth pastor. Amen? No, sir. I don't believe in spanking, but I do believe in whipping. And after I'm through, he's going to feel led. Some of you guys are praying for things that God has told you to do. About time God's going to whip you. But you know what we like? We want to pray about commandments. You don't pray about commandments. Go, go. I hate Nike's stole our slogan. We as Christians should have it. Just do it. Don't pray about it. Just do it. I've ministered a small church with 2,300 members. And one guy came to me after in the middle of the service. And he says, well, Brother Thomas, I don't like that you have the lepers now in your church. And we have a recommendation. We, the guys who don't have leprosy, we want to have the first service, 9:30. 11 o'clock service will be for the lepers. This is in front of all the people. He didn't give me enough time to pray about it. Come on. Well, may I say this to you in my humble but accurate opinion? I'm not a wimp. I told the guy, I said, would you stand, sir, while the would you remain seated while the congregation stands, because we're going to dismiss you in prayer. Because we're not going to have two services. You don't pray for your lions. Kill them. And he looked at me after the prayer. He says, what am I supposed to do? I said, you're gone. You're supposed to go. And he left. To make the long story short, after 3 months, he came back to my office. Today, he's the director of Leper Ministries. Guys, don't let anybody run your ministry which God has given you. God called you for that. There will be conflict in Christian life, confection of Christian life. communication of Christian life. Verse 9. He took the honey in his hand, tasted it, and he shared it with his parents and friends. Today, problem in Christianity, many people talk about honey, they write commentaries about honey, but they have never tasted honey. I hope if there is anyone today in this congregation, you have wrote a nice thesis on honey. You have scored A's on honey, but you never tasted it. This morning I offer to you, taste and see how good the Lord is. I was invited to preach in a city called Sojat, S-O-J-A-T. I know you started 10 sharp, ended 11 dull, and I promise you we'll do that today. So I was invited to preach in Sojat, S-O-J-A-T. This guy heard me on the radio. He says, would you come and preach in our city? Hey, these preachers, you know, they're crazy. All they say is yes. Preachers have a hard time saying no. So I said, I'll do it. Yes, sir. By the way, I'm married to an American. She's from Maine, and that makes me the Maine Indian. Nobody else can claim that now. So she looked at me. Now, one good thing about we Indians, you cannot tell if you're embarrassed, we're nervous, or we're afraid of our quiz, because our color never changes. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So, wives have a great discernment spirit. She said, by the way, where are you going next week? And I showed her, you know, for future guys who are going to be planning to get married, I want to encourage you. Bible is the greatest thing you should have. And the second thing you should have is a Franklin date planner. It will save your marriage. Write everything on that Franklin planner. If you have a BlackBerry, Palm 7, Palm 5, just write everything you want and let her read it while you have your peaceful meal. So she looked at my planner and she says, you're going to Sojat. Next thing, she goes to the website, checks it, comes back. She said, do you know where you're going? I said, yeah, Sojat. She said, you know what that place is known for, Sam? I said, no. Graveyard for Christians. Well, I acted dumb because English is not my first language. So I said, well, would you explain to me? She said, in other words, Sam, nobody ever came back alive. We sent preachers before and they were burnt alive in that village. Guess what I felt like doing after she told me about that? Let me pray about this. Come on. No way, Jose. We got in the car. I was passing the chapel. I heard the choir singing in the chapel. And well, that's one good thing about being the president of seminary. You don't have to ask permission. You go straight into the chapel. I looked at the dean of academics. I said, who's speaking in the chapel today? And says, so-and-so, Dr. So-and-so. I said, well, tell Dr. So-and-so he'll preach tomorrow. I'm preaching today because this is my last sermon. Got to the seminary, preached. When I prayed, a few students got up. That's disrespect to the president of a seminary. You don't walk around when the president speaks. But to my surprise, when I opened my eyes, 110 students stood on their feet and said, sir, you're not going alone. We'll go with you. I was about to tell them, guys, you better pray about it. But I don't know. I don't know about you, but I tell you what, I didn't. Because it gave me a greater feeling. It's not just me that's going to die. I'm going to take an entourage with me. I don't know about you, but that makes you feel macho, doesn't it? Man, Lord, it's not just me. I'm going to bring a team with me. They go to this place, and before we got to the place, I'm going to tell you, because some of you will be there in heaven. And this is what I prayed. I said, Lord, if you love me, give me a flat tire on the back of this bus, not the front wheel. Be very specific in your prayers. Lord, I would really appreciate if you give me a transmission failure. I'll tell you why I prayed that. I'm glad you asked. The reason I prayed that is so that I could come back Sunday morning and tell the congregation, your pastor tried to go, but the Lord didn't want him to go. Does that sound spiritual? But my God wasn't interested in answering my prayer that day. He was busy. So we drove that old bus of the ministry, two buses. It rode like a Mercedes 600. We got into the village, looked around. I sent a team to the south and the north. A few minutes later, two guys come on the motorcycle. I was on the north side. The other team was on the south side. And he looks at me, he says, "We're looking for Samuel Thomas." My first response, I didn't tell him, but I felt like, well, all Indians look alike. I felt like Peter. I don't know who you're talking about. But I said, "This is he." He said, "There's a team of yours in the city?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Everybody in that team is beaten. They've sprayed kerosene on the bus, and they're about to burn every one of them. And the dean of students asked me if you would come and help them." I hitchhiked because I couldn't take the bus. I hitchhiked. If you've been to India, white car with a red light, you don't hitchhike those cars because either it's the governor, the chief of police, or the mayor of the town is in that car. But this boy didn't care. I hitchhiked. Next thing you know, the red light car stops, rolls the windows down. He looks at me. He says, "Samuel Thomas, what are you doing in this village?" That's a great feeling. The VIP knows you. I said, "Sir, would you just give me a lift to the city?" And I can't tell him what happened because he just came after worshiping his elephant god. From the temple, he's returning. I'm not about to tell him that your people beat the Christians. Bible says to me, "Why is a serpent harmless as dove?" I said, "Sir, there's an accident. Some of our students have been beaten. Would you use your cell phone and get the police to protect our students?" And he looks at me and says, "Sam, it's been 7 years I've been trying to get in touch with you. All I want to tell you was thank you for correcting my son's life." You know what I did? We didn't spank him. We whipped him. And all he took was one whipping, and that boy today is studying to be the director, inspector general of police. And his grandfather wanted to just thank me. Finally, we get to this place. I have no idea who this guy is, this VIP. We see the burned Bibles. We see over 500 policemen guarding our students. I get out of the car. They thought I was the VIP, so all the 500 saluted. Thank God for Fox News, because I've seen George Bush do that a few times. So guess what I did? I didn't tell him, "It's not me, it's the guy inside." I didn't tell him that. I responded. God chose the foolish, amen. I didn't tell him, "Guys, this is just Sam Thomas, it's not he." Let me tell you, I serve a King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We packed the students in the bus. Everybody was bleeding, either from their mouth or nose. Two of the Americans was in our team. They were beaten too. As I cranked the bus, moved forward, the chief of police comes to my side and says, "Mr. Thomas, would you step down, please?" I said, "Sir, what can I do?" He said, "I have two questions for you. Are you related to the mayor?" I said, "No." "You must be close friends." "Oh, yeah, we're close friends. We just had 13 minutes of fellowship. We're real, real close." He said, "He just called me on the phone. And he said, make sure that Samuel Thomas sends a different bus, new students from his seminary, and every one of them should have their literature. And he wants me to give you a police escort and cover every house in this village with your literature." "Oh, chief of police, let's pray about this." No way, Jose, I felt like a charismatic. I had a spell. We sent them. Every house was covered in that village. Today, to God be the glory, 47 believers are worshiping God in a place which was known as graveyard for Christians. In truth and in spirit. What did we do? The lion came, you kill them. And once you kill them, Jesus of Nazareth will give you honey from the most bitterest experience in your life. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. I ask you two questions. Have you tasted the honey? Repeat the question again. Have you tasted the honey? Oh, taste and see how good the Lord is. You say, "Brother Thomas, there was something missing in my life. I've been a student here, but there was something missing. I've studied it. I have written papers on it. I've talked about it, but I've never tasted it." If you haven't, would you pray this prayer with me? "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Create in me a new heart. I repent of my sins, Lord. I want to taste you personally today." If you have prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, would you lift up your right hand and say, "Brother Thomas, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." Anybody else? "Lord, I want to taste that honey because I know The Bible says, taste and see how good the Lord is. Anybody else? Lord, I want to taste that honey. Praise God. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're going through problems in life, maybe cancer, maybe your wife cheated on you, your husband's cheating on you, maybe you're having a problem with your kids, I pray that you would allow the Spirit of God to control your life and you kill those lions. And once you kill them, Jesus of Nazareth will give you the sweetest honey. And when you get that honey, don't forget to thank him. Our Father, I pray that you would seal this message to our hearts. Give us India for Christ. Thank you for this country. Thank you for the men and women who have died for this country, that we could preach the glorious gospel so freely. In Jesus' name, amen.